This is the Diehards. The Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and John Serenitas.
And good evening, Diehard Nation. Welcome in to another edition of the Diehards. Anthony Pepe, John Serenitas, SB Nation Radio. Yeah, some have called us the City of Champions as we broadcast live from Boston. I'm going to change that to the city that constantly freaking rains. Raining again in Beantown.
Right, but in fairness, the last 2 days were nice.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
I think it's a Tuesday rain
thing. That's great.
And I think it prompts you to bitch, but the reality is we're supposed to have a pretty nice stretch after this.
Every time we're on the freaking radio, it's raining, man.
It's because we're the bearers of bad news.
What's happening with you? Anything?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing is ever happening.
What do you mean, nothing?
I live a very dull life.
Well, you don't live a dull life. I mean, the last time we chatted, you were talking about the Cleveland Browns winning the Super Bowl.
I said they were a contender. See, I knew that this was going to happen, that you were going to put words in my mouth. Contender. Second best team in the AFC. I'm sticking to that.
Yeah, you're going to stick to it, all right. Well, we're going to do some football on the program tonight.
Good. I want to defend that argument.
There's a Hall of Famer, a guy who won the Heisman, Tim Brown, going to call in and join us on the program tonight on the Progressive Insurance.
Pretty good player.
He was pretty good in his lifetime.
Yeah.
He was pretty good. And he's going to join us, and we're going to talk some football with him, so we'll get his take on what he thinks about the Cleveland Browns. And what he thinks about the other Brown, Antonio, with his former team in Oakland, and get his take on how he thinks John Gruden and the Raiders are going to do. So we'll talk a little bit about that.
Played for Gruden.
Yeah, so we'll talk a little bit about that on the program tonight. We're going to do some hockey. We'll talk to our pal from ESPN, senior writer Greg Wyshynski, talk some hockey and talk about the NHL draft. I know you studied it, you broke it down, you DVR'd it, you recorded it, you played it over and over again.
Again, I don't have a life, so.
You do not. And speaking of hockey, I'm going to talk to some guy who liked to fight in the NHL. Stanley Cup winner?
Rings a bell.
Knuckles something?
Yeah. Chris something.
Chris Nyland going to join us on the program and much, much more. You keep it right here. We got a stacked show for you lined up. You're listening to the Diehards. His name is John Serenitas. I am Anthony Pepe, and you are locked in to SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Now time for the Beantown Rundown.
All right, boys, let's do this.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and John Serenitas.
Time for the Beantown Rundown. 5 random sports questions, then we drop an entertainment question at the end. Again, you're listening to the Diehards here at SB Nation Radio out of Boston. Follow us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio, at Diehards Radio. I am at Anthony Pepe. It's Anthony, P-E-P-E. John Serenitas is at N-E-W-F-T-B-J. That's new F-T-B-J for John Serenitas on Twitter. And again, coming up shortly, talk to Hall of Famer, from Heisman Trophy winner, the great Tim Brown, shortly here on the program. But let's get right to the Beantown Rundown. First question.
Question 1.
Game 7, Mr. John Serenitas. Bases loaded, up 1 run. Who do you want on the mound? What pitcher?
Question 2.
Do you want on the mound for that one? Question 2, jump the gun. Here we go. Expectations for the New York Jets, the green team. What do you think they're going to do?
I like the new unis. That much I can tell you.
What do you think they're going to do? How do you think they're going to fare in the AFC East, in the AFC in general? So, again, expectations for the Jets.
Question 3.
Who would you rather play for in the NFL? Now, this is going to be a tough one. It's going to be a real tough one for you. I know it's going to be hard for you. Jerry Jones or Daniel Snyder?
Yeah.
Two knuckleheads.
Really tough.
That really like to mingle in all the stuff and make the decisions on players and They're just always those guys that are kind of annoying. And
yeah, but they're
crawl,
no different than any other governor out there, formerly
governor.
Known as an owner.
Okay, it's a governor now. Yes, correct. It's governor. A governor. That's so right. Who would you rather play for? Jerry Jones, the Cowboys, Daniel Snyder, the Washington Redskins?
Question four.
I like this one. This is going to be a tough one, too, for you, man. I'm going to make you think tonight. Keep you on your toes, Mr. John Serenitas.
I like it.
Barry Sanders, remember him?
Vaguely.
He was pretty good, wasn't he?
Pretty good. I think he played for Detroit, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oklahoma State, maybe?
Running back, I think?
Yes. Now I remember.
Retired at an early age. It's all coming back to us now, right?
It's like
right,
Celine Dion, all coming back to me now.
All right, here we go. Barry Sanders in his heyday versus Luke Kuechly in the open field. Who you got?
Oh,
what do you mean? What do you mean?
What's five? Let's go on to five.
I can't even do the sound effect you just did. What is that?
Here, let me do it for you again.
Like, come on, man. In his heyday, and Luke Kuechly right now, who's a great tackler, and he seems to be all over the field, who do you have in the open field? Who wins?
Question five.
Question five here in the Beantown Rundown with the Diehards SB Nation. If you were an NBA superstar free agent, would you talk to your buddies? Would you talk to your peers? Would you talk to guys you maybe played with in the past or played in college or kind of grew up with, whatever, to plot and build a super team? Would you be that guy to say, hey, Jimmy, Johnny, remember us? Couldn't stop us. Let's get the gang back together again.
I love the let's get the gang back together.
All right, so would you do that? Would you shoot the text and say, hey, Give me a buzz, pal. It's been a while, but I have a freaking idea. All right, let's get back to it. Question number one. Game 7, World Series, everything on the line. You waited your whole life to, both teams and players to win this thing, lose this thing. Up one run. What do you want on the mound for your guy to get out of it to win this thing?
Oh, that's easy for me. Max Scherzer.
Max Scherzer.
Max
that surprises
Scherzer.
Me.
The guy went out last week and pitched with a broken nose and a black eye after foul tipping a bunt off his face the day before.
What is it?
Max.
What does his nose and black eye have to do with throwing pitching? Come on.
He's a bulldog, man. He's
yeah,
a
he
dude.
Is. He's
Max
good.
Scherzer.
He's a dude.
Without a doubt.
He's a dude.
He is a dude.
All right.
Mad Max, baby.
Started doing this radio show with BC head coach Adazio over there. He's a dude.
He's a dude, man. He better hydrate, though. That's my Adazio impression.
I'm surprised. We're going to have Adazio on later on in the summer. Talk to my pals, my peeps over at BC, and we'll get the head coach of the Eagles on. And speaking of head coaches, how about Coach York getting in the NHL Hall of Fame? We'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll get him on the program later on down the line as well. I don't know. I just expected, Pedro or Clayton Kershaw or...
Oh, no. Right now?
In general.
I see, I'm basing it on right now.
Okay,
all right.
So I threw you a curveball. I didn't explain it properly.
Yeah, I don't think it's... I don't even think it's a question.
All right.
He's towing the bump for me in a game 7.
Fair enough. Question 2 here, Beantown Rundown. Mr. Serenitas, expectations for the gangrene?
Oh, 8-8. They'll be better under Adam Gase.
All right.
I mean, look, let's face it. Todd Bowles was in a coma half of last
year.
Yeah,
he was.
He was out of it. Sleep at the wheel. They'll be better. But again, it's the New York Jets. The talent level's better. I think the coaching on the offensive side of the ball will be better. But I don't think the results will be that much better.
It seems like they've just been mediocre for so long.
Right, and they'll continue to be mediocre. That's what they are, 8-8. A lot of it, of course, will hinge on the development of Sam Darnold.
Sure. Question 3, Beantown Rundown. Staying in the NFL. Jerry Jones, Daniel Snyder. It's kind of like you lose-lose here. I mean, who would you rather play for? Which knucklehead would meddle in your business less, I guess is the question. Jerry Jones of the Cowboys, Daniel Snyder of the Washington Redskins. Who would you rather play for?
Oh, Jerry Jones, man. The guy,
really?
It's first class. The Dallas Cowboys are a first-class organization. If I were a player, I'd want to play for Jerry Jones. He would be the governor I would want to play for over Daniel Snyder. See, Daniel Snyder to me is the kind of guy who sits in the background until things go south. Then he starts meddling and he sticks his nose in there. At least Jones is consistent. He's got his hands in everything from day one. So I would much rather play for him as a governor than I would Daniel Snyder.
Are you saying that Jerry Jones is a smarter football mind than Daniel Snyder?
Well, he played the game at the high school and college level. All right. I don't know what the hell Daniel Snyder did before he made his money.
All right, fair enough.
Probably got stuffed into lockers and played with calculators.
All right, question four, Beantown Rundown. How did that sound effect go earlier? Barry Sanders in his heyday versus Luke Kuechly in an open field. Who wins?
Oh, Barry Sanders all day.
What do you mean all day?
All day. His ability to start, and stop on a dime all day.
He broke ankles with everybody, but Luke Kuechly's a different beast. He's a different animal.
Fine.
In the In the open field, he's pretty good, too.
Yeah, but I don't see him having a high tackle success rate against Barry Sanders. In their prime, respectively, Barry all day.
Is there anybody with Barry Sanders on one side and anybody on this other side, or is it just Barry was that good that forget about it?
Well,
didn't matter.
Think the thing is, you can do this all night. I think what it comes down to is his lateral quickness is the difference.
Man.
In his prime, remember, this is a guy who also lost a lot of yards behind the line of scrimmage because
shuffling
he overcut and his lateral quickness. But in space, he was lethal.
All right, so you want to get the gang back together again. Question five, you're an NBA superstar free agent. You call your buddies, you call your peeps, you call your pals. Say, hey, you know what? Let's put a super team together. Are you one of those guys that does that?
I'm going to be a total hypocrite here. I used to rail against this, and I've railed against this up until recently because I hate it. Conceptually, it just makes me want to vomit. That being said, yes, I would do it. I'm going to be a total hypocrite here. Of course you do it. Why not do it? Because, look, you're going to get paid. Whether or not it's on a four-year deal or a five-year deal, you're going to get buco bucks. So now it's a matter of if you're going to leave money on the table, you want to go somewhere where you can win, you absolutely call and text your boys with a Z and get them to come play with you.
Speaking of NBA, the Rockets are eyeing a sign and trade with Jimmy Butler with the 76ers. And I don't know. Sunday, I guess, is the time frame to kick all the NBA stuff off. I don't know. It's just to me, I still look at this and I go, does this story really need to get out there right now? How does this help?
Just like the Celtics' interest in Kemba Walker doesn't need to get
out
there.
How does this help this player right now or this team right now? It doesn't. It hurts your leverage is all it does. How does that story get out there right now? Because you're texting your boys, right?
Right, because you're texting your boys. People talk, man. Remember now, the NBA offseason is more compelling than the NBA regular season.
It is. All right, entertainment question. I feel like I've asked you this one before, but I'll ask it again because I know you do like your food. Do you have a favorite fast food?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, it's a cheeseburger and french fries. In-N-Out Burger.
In-N-Out Burger.
It has to be In-N-Out Burger, but since there are no In-N-Out Burgers in this godforsaken part of the world that we live in, then I'm just going to have to settle for the generic Wendy's or BK.
Wendy's or BK, all right.
I mean,
have you tried Popeye's?
Popeye's
now, there's a Popeye's that just opened up from where we're broadcasting from, about 10 minutes down the road.
Popeye's is phenomenal.
That's the reason I was driving by there today, and I'm going, you know what? I feel like Popeye's tonight.
It's Chick-fil-A, though.
Chick-fil-A's good.
I do like Chick-fil-A, but... I would say Chick-fil-A's better than Popeye's.
I don't know. Popeye's is real good, man. Have you had it?
I have.
All right.
I will say this. I mean, I'll also throw Five Guys onto the
very
list.
Very good. Very good.
The problem with Five Guys is the bottomless fries. I mean, it's a heart attack waiting to happen. I need some kind of restriction on my consumption, so... You don't get to this healthy weight by watching what you eat, my friend.
Correct. All right, let's take a quick TO. When we come back, former Heisman Trophy winner, NFL Hall of Famer, Tim Brown, going to join us next. Keep it right here. It's SB Nation Radio.
SB. You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and John Serenitas.
And welcome back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East here in Boston. Prepare your vehicle for the 4th of July road trip now by visiting your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Simple preventative maintenance like changing your oil and filter, topping off your engine coolant, and checking belts and hoses can avoid costly repairs in the future and keep your eye on the road. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts have the parts you need at guaranteed low prices. Get your vehicle ready for the 4th of July travel today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Hopping to the Progressive Insurance guest line right now. Played 688 games in the NHL for the Montreal Canadiens, Boston Bruins, New York Rangers. Won a Stanley Cup in 86 for the Montreal Canadiens. The great Chris Knuckles Nyland is on the line. Chris, welcome to SB Nation Radio. It's Anthony and John. How are you?
How are you, Anthony? Sean, what's going on, man?
What's going on,
We're hanging
Chris?
In there, man. I guess I have to ask the question of those three teams. Which one was your favorite?
Montreal, without a doubt. I mean, come on. They drafted me. They gave me an opportunity. I won a Stanley Cup with them. They helped me become more than just a guy who could fight on the ice. They helped me become a player. And they gave me certainly the backing and the coaching and the players to do it with. And, yeah, so I'd say the Habs. I mean, I had a tough time in New York with injuries. I was, you know, I got beat up there quite a bit. And then obviously getting to Boston, I was pretty healthy again. And then until I decided to play basketball one day with some of my teammates, and I broke my ankle and I missed the All-Star game.
Hey, Chris, obviously three great sports cities. Were the fans better in one city than the other?
Let's put it this way. The fans are different, you know, in all three cities. I think maybe certainly the passion of the Bruins fan is like, you know, you find that in a city like Philly. You find it in a city like Chicago, those passionate, diehard fans, like bordering on crazy at times. I think the Canadiens, obviously passionate fans too. I think maybe a little more, I'm not going to say educated about the game, but I guess appreciative of the game of hockey a little more than so much. Yeah, they like the physical play. They like the tough play. But when you look at, really, when you look at Boston, you look at Philly, those fan bases demand that you have a tough kick-ass hockey team.
Sure.
You know? I think that's like kind of the difference. And that's one of the good things about the Bruins. Even though the change of the league, I give Neely, I give Sweeney a whole lot of credit that they've never lost that identity. And without obviously having to go out and get guys to beat, you know, fight guys and beat guys up every night, but they have guys who play really physical and they're kind of old school type of team, and they're a tight team and obviously a successful one when you look at what they did this season.
Chris, it's funny because our paths have actually crossed twice in my life. I'm a longtime Montreal Canadiens fan, and I remember when I was a kid, I met you at the old Roslindale DMV in Boston, and you signed my Canadiens hat. I was with my old man. And then I coached football at Curry College, and Coach Nelson brought you in to speak to our guys.
Yes.
So I know that you're involved heavily in the Montreal media. What are your thoughts on how the Canadiens did this weekend, and what do you think that the Canadiens need to do this offseason to take that next step and become a consistent playoff contender again?
Well, I think they made some pretty good moves, you know, last year. I think Bergeron was kind of under the gun. I think he kind of, you know, he inherited a group that, yeah, there was a certain window there I think they could win. And, you know, PK was part of that, Pacioretty. There was some division in the locker room. You know, I happen to think sown a little bit by PK and Pacioretty, their relationship. And, you know, I think guys took side. It wasn't a good thing. So one of them had to go. It ended up being PK. But, you know, then Bergeron, he tried to win with that group, but he, being a young general manager, I don't think he really understood what he had to do. You know, he kept bringing in these third, fourth line guys, which I get you have to have those guys. But, boy, you have to be able to build through the draft. And I don't, I think they made some difficult choices early on. When you look at what he did last year going on against Kotkaniemi, they dropped the guy. The guy was rated around 13 at the beginning of the draft, you know. And to pick him where he did was a ballsy move. You know, he went out in a limp. Now, listen, they needed a center iceman, but you drop that low. You know, you take a guy that was rated around 13, you pick him at 3. I mean, it's like, that's a move. But they drafted some other good players in Paling, Romanoff, the Russian kid. you know, I didn't like the Drouin trade with Sergachev. You know, Sergachev, that kind of a cornerstone type D that you could have had for years here, a young kid, especially just where they lost Markov. So, you know, I didn't like that move. I don't like Drouin as a player. I think he's soft. I don't, you know, I kept watching the Bruins in St. Louis in the final, and I kept trying to picture him playing in that series, and I couldn't. So I couldn't. I didn't know what he would do out there. I don't know if he could be involved. I don't know if he could take that punishment, that physical play. So I think, you know, the draft they had this year, pretty good. I mean, you know, they get the little guy Caulfield. Yeah, small guy, score goals, best goal scorer in the draft. But they certainly have to focus on maybe putting some size in around their smaller players, because they got some really talented, speedy forwards who have character. But in order for those guys to be able to go the distance, when you look at what the Bruins and the Blues did, and you look at the size difference in the teams, the Bruins are a big team, the Blues are a big team, they're able to play that physical game. I think the Canadians have to catch up in that area. But they have to do it, you know, they have to do it in a way where you're going out and you're getting that size and they're guys that also can play. Because, boy, and obviously center ice is the key. If you don't have that you're not strong up the middle, it's going to be difficult to go anywhere in this NHL.
Chris, obviously the expectations in Montreal are probably the biggest expectations of any fan base in the league. It's usually Stanley Cup or bust. Do you sense that kind of pressure up there now? Is there pressure on Bergevin and owner Jeff Molson to get this thing on track and get the Canadiens back to being a Stanley Cup contender?
Yeah, somewhat. The fans are, I think some of the fans, obviously, they're fed up with Bergevin. They think he screwed things up, blah, blah, blah. You know, and There's, you know, it's not too easy to just go out and replace the GM. You know, first of all, he has to be French, so that limits your pool, right? It's like the coach. He has to be French, so that limits your pool, which I certainly don't agree with, but they do it. And the fan base, yeah, they want a Stanley Cup, and they measure it to the past there, but you got to let go of that. There's so many teams. It's always difficult to win the Stanley Cup. And now with 31 teams, 32 teams, going to be, man, to get in the playoffs, this is definitely the most difficult trophy to win in sport. I don't care what anybody says, because I've been part of that. I've done it. I know how difficult it is. And now it's even more so. The schedule these guys play, the physical demand, the mental, emotional toll playoff take on guys, it's just incredible. So, but the Habs, yeah, there is that expectation, but I think that has to change somewhat, that people certainly have to be a little bit more realistic. But, you know, they're demanding. They want to see a winner here. They think it's been too long. I happen to think it's been too long, too. But I think the last 2 years here, Bergevin, I think they've made some good moves, and they've kind of turned the ship around now. Now it's how are they going to get the wind in the sails now that the ship's turned around. And that's what will kind of, I think, you know, tell us what Bergevin's legacy will end up being here. And if he can do that, if he can get that right mix, and they give him a little more time for these good young players to develop, and he can sprinkle the infield with some size, you know, and he can pull it off, and, you know, he just may survive it here. But, boy, he is under the gun, always. He's always under the gun.
Hey, Chris, great stuff, and I can see your radio career is going well. You seem to be enjoying yourself doing this radio thing, right?
Yeah, I know. I have fun with it. You know, yep. I come back here in 2011. I had an opportunity to do it. I enjoy doing it. I try and take what I learned as a player, what I understand as what it takes to be a hockey player, and I look at the guys out in the ice, and I kind of give them the benefit of the doubt a lot more than I think most people, because I've been
sure.
I certainly understand how difficult it is. The one thing that will piss me off, get me to talk bad about a player, is a guy who goes out there and dogs it. That'll be the fun thing.
We hear you, Chris. We are up against the clock. We really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you soon. There he is, Crix Knuckles Nylund, Stanley Cup winner.
This is the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and John Serenitas.
The voice of the majority has spoken for Timothy Donnell Brown of Dallas, Texas, and the University of Notre Dame, the winner of the 53rd Heisman Trophy Award.
Tim Brown will return this one from the 27. Brown, look at it. What a magnificent runner. Brown is going to take it all the way for a touchdown.
Safe to say our next guest was pretty good. Joining us on the Progressive Insurance guest line, formerly of Notre Dame. I guess you're always from Notre Dame, right? Heisman Trophy winner, spent 16 seasons in the NFL, 9-time Pro Bowler, 1990s All-Decade team, and in 2015 inducted into the Hall of Fame. The great number 81, Tim Brown, is on the line. Hey, Tim, it's Anthony and John in Boston. Welcome to SB Nation Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right, man. I hope you don't hold the tuck rule game against us because we're from Boston. Hope that's okay.
Well, you know, I only think about that game during the second weekend of January every year. That's about it.
Hey, is that still a tough one to swallow?
It's tough because, you know, who knows what would have happened if we would have, won that game going to Pittsburgh. And, you know, so it's always that that thing you'll be thinking about is, you know, what would have happened if we would have gone on, you know?
Sure.
So I know for your boy, Tom Brady, you know, if he loses that game to a West Coast team, man, you may never even hear from him anymore. So I tell everybody, Tom, I'll start every interview by saying, I want to thank the Oakland Raiders. Okay, what is your question? Go ahead, please.
hey, Tim, of all those things and all those accolades I mentioned, you know, bringing you into the program, is there one that you're more proud of the most?
The Heisman is an incredible deal, you know, because you're the only one that year. But, you know, really anybody can come out of nowhere and win the Heisman. To get to the Hall of Fame, man, you got to, NFL Hall of Fame, you got to put years and years back to back to back to back. So I think, you know, if I'm going to be proud of my football career, you know, I'm going to be proud of the fact that I was able to put some incredible years together in the NFL.
Tim, you played for the Oakland Raiders, but what are your thoughts on them becoming the Las Vegas Raiders next year?
You know, when I first heard about that, man, I jumped on everybody in the organization, you know, trying to figure out what they were trying to do. You know, you're going to lose this, you're going to lose that. And, you know, but one of the things that they told me was, hey, Tim, the problem we're having is, you know, these young kids, man, you know, they want to be able to come and be able to show people, hey, you know, the newest and the latest. And obviously the Raiders didn't have any of that to offer. And so they want to meet people in the airport and keep them in the airport and put them right back on a plane and send them home because their facilities were so bad, you know. So, so I think certainly that was part of the reason that they did this. But, you know, the city of Oakland had 22 years to make this thing happen. You know, we got there in 1995 and they talked about making it happen then. They just never did. So I don't think they had a choice. You know, I think this is going to be incredible. For the Raiders organization. It's going to be the first time, man, since I've really known about the Raiders, because when I grew up in Dallas, you don't know about anybody but the Cowboys, that they've had their own stadium, man. And, you know, I think that's going to be a remarkable thing for the Raiders franchise.
Obviously, Tim, you played for John Gruden. Do you like the direction that he and Mike Mayock are taking the organization in right now?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, this is not a sprint, right? This is a marathon, man. And I think if they had a 2-year contract, they probably would have done things a little differently last year. But the fact of the matter is, they got a long term deal to get things done.
And I think they're taking that approach now. Look, I mean, yeah, you can't win four games this year and say you're making progress, right? So, you know, they got to come out and play good football. You can have all the high draft picks and free agents, get good free agents, all that stuff, but guys don't come and play. It's not going to mean a hill of beans, man. So hopefully the guys will come out and they'll play good football.
You're listening to the great Tim Brown, Heisman Trophy winner, 2015 Hall of Famer here on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line. Tim, talk about the other guy named Brown in the Raiders uniform right now, Antonio. What is your take on him as a player?
Man, you know, he's a big play guy, man. This is a guy, when he gets the ball in his hands, you can expect big things are going to happen. So, you know, I think this is going to be an incredible year for him, and I think – even though, you know, his number says that he's top one or two since he's been in the league, I think this offense is going to even take him to a higher level, because he's going to be asked to do things in this offense that he's probably never done. And when he accomplishes those things, I think people are going to be looking at him as a, not just as a deep threat, but as a guy who can keep the, you know, keep the clock moving and you know, keep the ball in the offense hands by, you know, catching these little short third and five passes and third and four passes that he's going to be asked to do in this offense. So I think it's going to be a remarkable year for him. And, you know, I think, you know, again, it's going to even escalate his, you know, his credibility even higher in the league.
Tim, talk a little bit about how much offenses have changed from when you were in the league to today. Obviously, your skill set would translate in any generation, any system, but what are your thoughts on offense today and how it's changed from what it was when you played in the league in the 90s and the early 2000s?
Yeah, well, you know, the biggest thing is we only went to third down, three or four receivers on third down. I mean, it was very, very rare that we would go to multiple receiver packages on first or second down. So I think from that standpoint, it's a that's the biggest difference. You know, teams are coming out of the huddle first play of the game with four receivers lined up, and you know, it opens up the field to everybody. But at the same time, it can get a little crowded. You know, so you know, Jerry and I were talking about that not too long ago. Is, you know, the one thing we knew is with two guys in the field, I knew exactly where he was going to be, and he knew where I was going to be. You know, you get four receivers out there, man, it could be problematic. So, you know, I think the offense, they're probably even, you know, a little bit more difficult at this particular point, because so you have to be so disciplined in your route running, because if you're not, you're going to certainly end up in the wrong lane, you know.
Tim, you spent 16 seasons in the NFL. Who was the toughest DB defensive back that you had to go up against?
Well, don't forget about my 1 year in Tampa, man. So that's going to help me on my pension. So I got to always mention Tampa. I finished my career in Tampa my last year. Look, man, you know, when you talk about Dale Carter and James Hasty and those kind of guys, man, those guys were very, very difficult to go up against. You know, they were tough guys. Dale was not only tough, but he was fast. Hasty was so strong that, you know, you had to spend 2 seconds fighting with him at the line of scrimmage trying to get away from him. So, but those guys, man, you know, anytime I talk about, you know, having tough games, I always talk about those guys, because they were a tough duo to go up against.
All right, so you mentioned that final season in Tampa Bay. I thought you wanted to get rid of that, but I guess the question is then, what was it like after all those years and knowing all everything Raider Nation to go play for another team? Was it weird? Was it awkward? Was it tough?
You know, I think because of the way things happened with the Raiders,
yep,
so suddenly, you know, I knew that something was going to be different, but I thought what they were going to ask me to do was not start and play behind Jerry Porter. So I was preparing myself for that, but I wasn't preparing myself for being released. And then actually they wanted to trade me to Detroit or someplace. They wanted to trade me. But thankfully I had a no trade clause in my contract and I didn't have to worry about that. So because of that, man, you know, I needed a soft place to land, and there was no better place for me than with John Gruden. There were four or five players, you know, Charlie Garner, Ricky Dudley, Matt Stinstone. You know, we had guys who I played with, they were down there already. So, you know, I think from that standpoint, you know, being able to go to a place where people, where you're comfortable in the locker room and you're comfortable with the coach,
sure,
just made it real simple for me to, you know, go down there. And believe me, it wasn't long after I got down there that I realized it was most definitely going to be my last year in the league, because things were so different. But at the same time, you know, it gave me an opportunity to prepare myself to leave the game.
Tim, switching gears, talking about the NFL today, do you see any team in the AFC this season that could potentially dethrone the New England Patriots or bridge the gap, per se?
I think obviously Jacksonville didn't have the year that they wanted to have. Quarterback just didn't play well this year. Obviously, that's going to be a different situation down there. So if they can get that defense going again the way they were going a couple of years ago, with Nick Foles as a quarterback, that team could be very interesting to see what they can get done, you know. And, you know, Kansas City, you know, I know no one knows what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill right now. I mean, anytime you can put points on the board like they can and play defense like they can play, that's a team you certainly have to be, you have to be wary of if you're the New England Patriots. So, and I always got to talk about my Raiders, man. I think that this team is going to be much better defensively, and I think John has the concept in place on the offense now to really, if you look at what they did the first 6-8 games last year, I think they were top 4 or 5 in the league in offense. And when they traded Amari and a couple other guys got hurt, that went away. But now that they have the guys that they have, I think they're going to be a force to reckon with the AFC West, and certainly in the AFC, if not this coming up year, certainly in 2020.
Do you think Derek Carr can take him to the promised land and take him to the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, I mean, I think sometimes you have to, if you're Derek Carr, you have to say, okay, look who I have around me. You know, I have AB, I have Tyreek Williams, you know, I have Josh Jacobs, you know, I have all these guys, all this talent around me. My job is really not to mess it up, you know, and we used to joke with Rich Gannon about that. Just don't mess it up. You know, but Rich was an incredible quarterback, man, and, you know, he was the smartest guy on the field every game we played. There was no doubt about that. So, so I think from that standpoint, if Derek can just do what he's supposed to do, not anything extra, you know, I think this team would be okay. And so hopefully he can get that done.
Hey, Tim, before we let you go, talk a little bit about your partnership, and you're involved in NASCAR. Is that true?
Well, that was years ago, man. When I first came out the league, we tried to put a NASCAR team together, but it just didn't go well. The crash came around the same time, and that just killed anybody trying to put a venture like that together. So,
gotcha. Hey, Tim, we really appreciate the time for joining us, and I know you have a very busy schedule, so you get back to what you need to do, and thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate the time.
There he is.
Thanks, Tim.
The great Tim Brown out of Notre Dame, Heisman Trophy winner. Again, 16 seasons in the NFL and 9-time Pro Bowler, 1990s All-Decade Team, and, of course, inducted into the 2015 Hall of Fame. And the list goes on and on and on about, you know, his accolades and how good he was. I mean, one of the best to ever play the game.
Oh, absolutely. And then I look at, when we were doing that interview, I thought to myself, imagine how good he would be in some of these offenses, these spread-based offenses today, with his route-running ability, his consistent hands, his ability to separate after the catch, sneaky separation after the catch. He would have put up even bigger numbers.
I mean, obviously, he mentioned Rich Gannon. He was a hell of a quarterback, and you know, a slinger, if you will. But you talk about some of these quarterbacks, you know, in today's day and age, how accurate they are. And imagine a guy like Patrick Mahomes throwing to Tim Brown.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
It's ridiculous, especially nowadays where once you get into plus territory, a lot of these coaches, they love, especially on first down, to take their shots. And a guy like him who could separate at the line of scrimmage and stack, again, he would have put up even bigger numbers than he did, and he had a great career statistically.
Take a quick TO. We'll come right back. You're listening to the Diehards. His name is John Serenius. I'm Anthony Pepe. It's SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and John Serenitas.
And welcome back, SB Nation Radio. It's always fun doing those interviews and, you know, I'm trying to prep for the interview and trying to do some research, and I see something about NASCAR, and I'm going, hey, let me ask him about NASCAR. Boy, did that flop.
Well, I thought it was a fair question. I think you're beating yourself up. I would, if I were you, I'd be beating myself up more for wearing that peppermint-colored polo shirt that you have on right now.
Well, I'm very comfortable with my own skin, so I can wear any color I want. I actually look good in pink. But, you know, I want to get back to something that we were talking about Patrick Mahomes. Imagine him throwing to Tim Brown and talking about these elite quarterbacks in today's day and age. Deshaun Watson. Can he be elite quarterback? And does it have to happen next season?
I think he can. I think the physical tools are there. I think the issue with him is the decision-making and the consistency. And perhaps the bigger issue is them protecting him. The Texans' offensive line has had some issues the last 2 years. They haven't done a great job of protecting him. So I think if Bill O'Brien and his staff can find a way to better protect him, I think he has the pieces around him to be an elite-level quarterback.
I mean, but does it have to happen? Is it this year? Is it next year? I mean, he's in the league. I mean, what is it going on? This is fourth year?
He's fourth year. He's going into his fourth year. Yeah. Absolutely. It absolutely has to be this year. I mean, gone are the days now where a guy can develop. If you step into this league and you start, you need to take the proper steps to playing up to your potential. The pressure's on him to do that now.
Well, I mean, he's no Baker Mayfield who's going to win the Super Bowl
per
John Serenius.
All I said was he was the second best team in the AFC. Now all of a sudden I'm putting a $400 bet on him and hoping to win $100,000.
We're going to do a lot of hockey in the next hour. We'll talk about the NHL draft and what happened there. Senior ESPN writer Greg Wyshynski, pal of the show, will join us. Draft analyst will also join us as well, so we'll talk a lot of hockey next.